Welcome to Church Online, and a special welcome if you're with us for the first time. It's a joy to gather in this way, to worship, to pray, and to grow together. Even with distance or isolation, holidays or health, in aged care or meeting as a rural church, wherever you are, we're glad you're here. My name is Lynn. I'm the minister at Adelaide West. Today, the Reverend Dr. Phil Carr will be bringing us the message, Trust is a Must, and we look forward to that. As we do each week, we light a candle as a symbol of us meeting together and the presence of Christ as we do so. It's a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world and invites us to reflect his light. Last week we drew a flame and wrote our gifts on it as a reminder of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we did the same at our in-person services and we placed them at the front as people came forward for communion. So together, all these gifts bless others. Together we bring hope, we surprise and make a difference to a hurting world. Evening Fellowship meets on the second Wednesday each month. And this week they celebrated early, 20 years since the first service at Adelaide West. Our youth are holding a camp on the 15th to the 17th of July at Adair campsite, open to all youth at high school. There'll be worship, a guest speaker, Nathan Pullman, games, food and fun. If you'd like any information on this, please email us at churchonline@awuc.org.au, and we can also send you a link to a video promo. We sing together, How Great is Our God.
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, in darkness tries to hide, it trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great. How great is our God? Age to age he stands. Beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God?
See how great reading from Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. But there was a certain man named Ananias, who with his wife Sapphira sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, and took him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Was this the price you and your husband received for your land?" "Yes," she replied, "that was the price." And Peter said, "How could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too." Instantly she fell to the floor and died. When the young men came in and saw that she was dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what had happened. And the second reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 44 to 48, entitled The Death of Jesus. By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words he breathed his last. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshipped God and said, "Surely this man was innocent." And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I guess you could call it a crisis. I'd lost my internet connection. I then did what you're meant to do, rebooted the router. Still no joy. So I rang my ISP and proceeded to wait and wait, as you do. In the fullness of time, a representative came online. And I said, "Could you please tell me if there's an NBN outage in the southern area?" "Certainly, sir, I can help you with that. First, can I have your customer ID?" I replied, "Look, is that necessary? I mean, all I need to know is whether there's an outage." He replied, "I first must have your ID. Well, I found it and I gave it. And then he said, "Can I have your full name?" And I said, "Really, isn't that already attached to my customer identification?" I handed over my name. And then he wanted the residential address, including the postcode. And then my date of birth. "Thank you for that, sir." I thought, finally, I'm going to get an answer. But then he said, "I'm going to send you a 4-digit code to the phone that's registered with this customer ID. When you receive it, please read it back to me." Well, ground down to submission, I complied. To which he at last said, "I can now answer your question. No, there's no outage anywhere with the NBN at present." These days, it's increasingly hard to get answers to almost anything, no matter how easy or innocent, unless first one discloses a pile of personal particulars. This sends a message. We don't, we won't, we can't trust you until you prove to us that you are who you say you are. You're a phony unless you prove otherwise. Well, no doubt we're plagued with such impositions because of those unscrupulous individuals who hack into other people's lives one way or another to defraud them. I mean, I can't tell you the number of SMSs I've received lately telling me I have parcels to collect and to just click on the link provided. It's like we now have to be on guard every single time we answer the phone, open an email, or receive a text message. It's like trust has been disconnected. Forget about where have all the flowers gone. Where's the trust gone? 20 or 30 years ago at camps and conferences, people were often invited to go on what was called a trust walk. We closed our eyes while another attendee led us on some prescribed path. We had to trust them to keep us safe from crashing into things. Sometimes we'd be asked to stand and then just allow ourselves to fall backwards and trust that the people stationed behind us would catch us. In those days, it was a little more about trust. These days, it's a lot more about mistrust, plus a whole lot of inconvenience. Decades ago, Gandhi said, "One of the most essential qualities of the human spirit is to build trust with others." And the late American author Stephen Covey wrote, "Trust is the glue of life that holds all relationships." It seems that we humans need to know that we can depend on someone, that they're reliable. To trust someone means that we believe that they'll act in our best interest, that they'll look out for us, be true to their word. I mean, you know, trust is so important because we need to know who to rely on, who to depend upon, who to count on. Trust creates a sense of personal security. And yet, human beings are flawed, and sometimes people break the trust with us, and yes, we with them. And trust that usually has been built slowly over time can be lost in just a moment. And without trust, relationships, families, communities, nations, international alliances come unstuck. And we all saw what happened last year when Australia withdrew from the French submarine contract and their head of state labelled ours a liar. Of course, breaking trust is nothing new. Proverbs 20 verse 6, written 3,000 years ago, "Who can find one worthy of trust?" There's a rather macabre scene in the first century church at a time when Christians liberally shared their property and resources with each other. Barnabas, of Paul and Barnabas fame, sold his property and donated 100% of the proceeds to the church's general funds. Sometime later, a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, also liquidated their land assets to make a similar gift. But unlike Barnabas, he and the missus stashed some of it aside, you know, for that rainy day. I mean, after all, there was no pressure on anyone at all to give anything. Well, Ananias rocked up to the local elders' meeting and made this big speech about how he was handing over the entire proceeds of that sale. Of course, that wasn't true. And unstuck by lying, he dropped dead on the spot. No sooner had his body been removed, wife Sapphira turned up and gave the same speech about their sacrificial donation to the church. And then she too bit the dust. Now, whatever we might feel about this deathly drama, the message to the church was clear. We have to be able to trust one another. because it's crucial for any sense of community. I mean, those people would love that side that's presently on the side of Glenelg trams. Trust is a must. Nearly all of us have had people in our life who let us down, who didn't keep their word, who didn't honour their commitment to us. Their behaviour was hurtful, and their behaviour broke the trust between us. However, to be honest, what worries me even more is that consciously or otherwise, some of us extend that human betrayal to God, and we lay the blame at God's feet. And now suddenly it's God who can't be trusted. But just think about that for a second. Is God the one that's let us down? Or is that just how life is? How people are? Maybe that's why Job became such a biblical hero. I mean, after all that happened to him, he still trusted God. Disaster took his fortune. Disease tortured his body. Death touched his family. Deceit turned away his friends. And the dark side tried to take away his faith. And yet, after all that, Job could say, "Even if God slays me, I will trust him." Of course, then there was Jesus, suffering the torture of crucifixion for many hours. In his very last moments, he called out loudly, "Father, into your hands I entrust myself." After which he stopped breathing. So the very final thing that Jesus said on this earth was that he still trusted God, even when he was in indescribable pain. His message was, and still is, plain, that if anyone at all, fails us, God will not. Regardless of what happens to us, God can be trusted. And in trusting God, we come to appreciate just how much we're loved unconditionally. So much so, in fact, that we can end up offering love to our relationships and thereby reestablish that essential trust. I know some of us have been badly hurt in the past, and probably we have to move slowly with restoring our trust in others. I mean, it is true. Trusting God and trusting other people does make us vulnerable. But choosing not to trust means that we're going to be missing out on so much joy in what can only be described as a pretty precious but precarious life. Whether we like it or not, we were created for relationships. We were made by God to be connected to each other by trust. And for that reason alone, I would say to you and to myself, trust is a must.
Where
Let's pray together. Loving God, we worship you. Thank you that we can trust in you when life is stormy. That you are with us wherever we go, helping us along over the mountains, in the joys and in the storms. Lord Jesus, we're sorry for those things that we do that aren't of you. When we don't trust you or trust others. When we don't act in ways that help other people to trust us. Thank you that these things and all our sins are forgiven. Lord God, we lift before you those who carry heavy burdens. Those who find each day a challenge. Those who struggle to see hope for the future. With health. In hospital, with COVID, or just struggling with life. We lift all the people on our hearts to you today. Lord, we thank you that you are the ultimate source of all hope. And we ask that we'd use your people, your church, to bring hope, healing, and light into darkness today. Lord, we lift before you all those who carry heavy burdens of responsibility for our leaders, local, national, and around the world, for those whose decisions will affect the lives of many. Give wisdom and compassion, we pray. We continue to pray for our world with COVID and pray for those making decisions, for those giving assistance. And we pray for wisdom. And we pray for those who have COVID or loved ones have COVID. Lord, we give you thanks for those who carry burdens of responsibility in our church, locally, nationally, and globally. And may the Spirit of truth and wisdom guide and protect all who serve in whatever capacity, that you might be glorified in the world. Lord, we lift our prayers to you today. In the name of Jesus, Lord of all, our cornerstone and our hope. Amen.
Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that this service has brought you joy. If you would like prayer, please send us an email. We would love to pray with you. We pray that our gifts, financial and practical, will share the love of God in our communities and in our world. This week, entrust your life, your week, each day and moment in the storms and in the joys, to the one who can be trusted, to the one whose amazing love sustains us each day. And may the grace and the kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love and presence of God, and the fellowship and friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you always. Amen. Blessings on your week.